Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
So today I'm going to be talking to Nicola Goran all about exhibitions and about how her experiences of exhibitions, good and bad, some of the stuff that she's recently experienced, and also how you can make the most of them before, during and after. So I'm going to bring Nicola in just a second. But please, if you have any questions at all, please put them into the comments and all that jazz, because we would love to answer them and get your feedback on this. Doesn't matter if you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you're watching on YouTube, still put them in the comments. So I'm going to bring Nicola in. So Nicola, how are you doing? You all right?
All right, thank you. A bit tired, as we mentioned earlier.
You know, doing a podcast at 9 o'clock in the morning seems to kind of have that reaction to a lot of people. It does.
Just that. So it's been a heavy week, as we were discussing, you know.
Very, very true. Very true. And this is why, I think it's very topical to talk about it right now, because to let people know, first of all, tell people a little bit about our Iconic Creative Consultants and about what you do before we get into the whole expo exhibition business. Okay.
Well, I'm a designer, photographer and filmmaker, so I help people with their marketing materials, be it kind of graphics, you know, logo branding, just worked on a big branding project, and then things like exhibition materials, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later, and then photography and videos and promos and that sort of thing. So I help people look good, really, help their business look good and help them engage with clients and potential clients to obviously grow their business.
Nice. And obviously, we kind of alluded to it, but what have you been up to over the last couple of weeks?
I've had a stand at Olympia for the Museums and Heritage Show. And it was really, really good, because it's the first, obviously, they were really hoping that it would go ahead, because it's been postponed for 2 years because of COVID. So everyone was really excited. But I was having to do, because I'm working with a colleague, but she's not so into all the business stuff. So I've been doing all the booking the show, booking, arranging for the lighting, designing the actual materials for the show. And yeah, it's been quite stressful, really. So what I just wanted to kind of give a few tips of the things that I've experienced when doing this. This show was Olympia, so it's a big area. It's not like a little, you know, church hall or whatever.
How many exhibitors were at Olympia? Just to give a bit of scale.
Our stand was P9, and there were like there must have been at least a couple of hundred, I would say, probably, stands of varying degrees. You know, now the first thing that you have to think about when you choose your stand, because obviously you will either be thinking about, oh, what show do I want to go to, or on what my budget is, what can I afford? But you then also have to think about the actual stand at the show, because they offer them in meter square sizes. So if you've got a little tiny budget, you can have a little 1 meter by 1 meter stand. And I think it's something like the business show has a Your Business Street, I think it's called, or something like that, where you can have lots and lots of 1 meter stands. But from my experience, the first time we did a stand was in 2019. And we ordered a 1 by 2 meter, and it's not big enough, because if there's two of you particularly, it's very tight. There's not that much space to put your graphics. You think, oh, 1 by 2 meters, that's really, really big. And I laid it out on the floor to work out what space I had, and it's tiny, because we were at the time when we were using roller banners. And then there's only room for one stall, only room for one table. So one of you has to kind of hover around outside in the aisle, which they don't like, particularly because you've got to keep the throughfare. So I would say think about your budget. Obviously, budget is going to be key to this. But if you can afford it, I would go by at least a 1 by 3 meters. That's what we did this time. A 1 by 3 meters allows you a little bit of freedom. But what we also did this time, we didn't go with the roller banners. We went with 4 by 1 meter drops in the shell stand. So,
okay.
For those that don't know, when you do a stand, you have the option of a kind of freestanding space, but you can also hire what's called a shell stand. And a shell stand is where you can install graphics in varying ways onto the wall of each drop. And it's made up by, it's a bit like one of these connector things that you have as a kid. So it has little pillars that have got slots in where they slip boards, so you can then make angles. So you can have a corner slot like we did, or you can have 2x2 or 2x3 next to each other with another stand beside it. So you need to talk to your event organizer to get a floor plan. And a floor plan will show you all the spaces that they have available. Sometimes they have very large spaces like 3 meters by 3 meters or 2 meters by 2 meters, depending on the nature of your business and obviously your budget again. But when you're choosing this, have a look also at where your stand is, because ours was on a big crossroads. So we could be seen from the left, we could be seen from the right, we could be seen from straight down. And then we could also be seen, depending on where the person was, from behind us as well. And also think about the footfall from, if this venue has got any theatres. A lot of these shows will do a series of interviews or theatre talks where they have a seated area. And people coming from that will often then pass your stand. If you've got it by the toilets, yes, you get a lot of footfall past the toilets, but it's, you know, people are obviously on the way in or they're on the way out. They're not really so much interested in chatting to you when they're near a toilet, particularly. If you then kind of go near these theatres, it's, our stand was in a quite a good position near a lot of theatres and we've got quite a lot of traffic. So that would be one tip. Check the size that you want, obviously dependent on your budget, but also check where it is. Is it near the front? Is it near the theatre? Is it near the toilets? Is it near the coffee stand? Because the coffee stand, whilst it may be good near, you know, to be nearby that, think about where the queues are going to go. Are they going to go past your stand? Are they going to block your stand? All this sort of thing.
Mm.
So then once you've kind of got your stand, and this is where, you know, it's like a case of, you know, you say one thing, do as I say, but don't do as I do. Because normally I would have been all over this. We've got to get, you know, first I was in January, we had a meeting with my colleague and I had a meeting about what we were going to do. We decided what we were going to do. And I did an initial draft. And then I got hooked up on a big branding project. She got hooked up on a project for somebody else. And it was suddenly 3 weeks before the deadline, and we hadn't finalised.
Zoom creeps up.
It catches up. And I hadn't even been able to read any of the emails I'd got from the organiser. So I was behind. And what they do is they send you a list of, okay, you need to enter stuff for your exhibitor badge. Do you want to hire lighting and electrics? Do you want to hire furniture? Because you can hire furniture. You don't have to buy show furniture. Again, it's dependent on budget. So did you want to do that? You have to, depending on how you're getting there, you have to book booking slots so that you can have your stuff delivered, or that you can deliver it yourself if you've got a car. And then you also have to book the slot for when you're leaving as well, because they have a build day, which is the day before, and you have to kind of book your slot on there. And so that was a mad panic. We did decide that we were going to have electrics, because I had some videos that I wanted to show. So we bought electrics this time. But because I hadn't had a chance to do it, we'd left it late. So, of course, that cost a bit more, because I didn't get onto the early bird thing for the electric. So it's planning it really well. It's quite a neat trick, really. It's, the better you do it, the less stress you have. So then we're talking about the printing, the design and printing. You need to, depending on when your show was or is, you need to take into account things like weekends, because printers don't work over the weekend, particularly commercial printers. So anything that you send on a Friday is not going to get looked at until Monday. So that's, and then you've got a possible 1, 2, maybe 3 days, depending on what you're having printed. So, because even with the roller banners or the vinyl drops, they still have to put a finish on it. So they print it and then they leave it and then they put a drop on it. They put a vinyl covering on it. which I didn't realise. Even me, as a printer, you know, as a designer specialist, I didn't know they put a special finish on that. So planning and watching your schedule is very key to reducing your stress levels. Obviously, there's going to be stress. There always are with these sort of things. But managing your stress is working out a plan. Last time I did it, the first time I did it was 2019, and I had it all planned out on the on my calendar on the floor, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, here's Easter and here's May, because you have to bear in mind with Easter, it's even worse. So you've got the 4 days, and then you cut, you, what was it? This time it was maybe end of April, I can't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. You've got 4 days, then you've got East into May, and then you've got a bank holiday. So you've got a plan when you do your stuff. So I did all that, and then I got the spec from the organisers, and it wasn't right. It didn't make sense with what...
Okay.
What I can't remember exactly what was wrong, but I knew it wasn't right, because we had ordered a we had ordered a stand that was like a 3 by meters. This is your 1 meter, and this is your 3 meter wall.
Mm.
And, I can't remember exactly what was wrong, but the measurements they gave me didn't make sense, and I had to get new measurements from, I can't remember who it was, I think it was the lighting people or somewhere like that.
Mm.
And I had, when I'd done my initial design, I had designed it to the size that I'd been given from the organisers, and it, when I got it onto the correct size, there was more space, so I had to then re-space everything out on the actual layout. But what I would also consider, depending on the shell stand that the organisers have hired, some of them have a fascia board around the edge with a post, which is good. But then when you do your graphics, you have to remember that people are at a certain level, so they're not always going to look up that high. This particular stands unit didn't have fascias on this particular thing, so we could design higher. And again, that's what I didn't realise. There was, on the initial spec, I had fascia boards. Mm-hmm. So something was, there was obviously miscommunication there. So you need to make sure when you do your stands that you've got proper communication with the organisers and the people who are doing the shell stand setting up. And
good call, yeah.
Also, what you have to bear in mind is that whilst you may design a pretty stand, maybe I can show this particular picture.
To add it to the stream so you can...
We've got the long side of it, we've got the 3 metre side of it, and my colleague standing in front of it. So can you see here? This is where the corner join. I'm pointing to the left-hand side of the screen, and then the corner joint would be here. And the way that they had given me the specs was we had the corner joint, and then we had the three panels going along the 3 meter stretch. And then this end was blank. But when we got here, they had put this extra half panel on the end, which I had designed for. I had no knowledge it was going to be there, but it had to be there, because otherwise the stand was really unstable, because it's only supported in the middle section. So you can get these surprises even when you're not expecting it. And as you can see at the top here, there's a lamp. We paid for the two lamps, and we also paid for the electric. So when I first got to there, the electric was running down this outer thing on the right-hand side on the actual stand here.
Okay.
But I had designed it to go on the left, because that's where we're going to have the TV. So we had to get them to change it. And then up here, you can't see, it's off-screen. There's a big electrical, it's like a fuse box, hanging over the piece of graphics here. So you always get things as a stand that will interfere with your graphics.
So effectively, even if you've had an exhibition before at a different event, it's still worth checking the specs and making sure it's all good.
Oh, definitely,
it could completely be different.
And being aware that it might have to be kind of flexible and change things around. With this particular sizing, they gave me a size. Can you see? These are the central poles where you slot the boards in.
Yeah.
And I had it all designed to the correct size, and then I pulled it in by 2 millimetres each side, knowing that the size they'd given me was the size that would go into that space. So if I pulled it, it's a bit complicated, I know, but if you pull it in by 2 millimeters, it then sits dead on the flat board rather than trying to go underneath those
yeah, things. That makes sense.
So that was just some of the things that we encountered on the show.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you've got making sure that you capture the details. You pay this amount of money to speak to people.
Yeah.
So I did a I don't know if I can show you this on so I can find a blank one. I don't really want to show people's information. No, I haven't got any blank ones left. I'm going to do it reversed. I don't know if you can see that reversing. So I can get it lit so you can just about see there's some. I did a, names, email, what they're interested in, just to kind of keep the record of, so then I can follow up with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that.
And just going back quickly to the actual stand itself. So you say before that you had obviously a small 1 meter, and it was only a small 1 meter by 2 meter display, and that was enough for one world banner. Did you find with this it gave you more space because you had more?
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's what we definitely found this because we had. Let me see if I can find another picture to open up and show you. So let me open up this one.
Okay.
This is the other side of the stand. So can you see? Yeah,
that works.
I was able to put a TV in here with a table, and that's. Can you see? This is the fuse box thing
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't expecting. So I had to lift this up with my walking stick, and my friend put it underneath. So just be very careful with your measurements, because I have seen when I did something for a client of mine and a friend, and I helped him on his stand. And we had the specs from the people. I designed it exactly to the specs, and it didn't fit because of various bits and pieces. I can't remember exactly what it was now, but we had to kind of push one bit in a different way to make it look reasonable.
Mm.
So
this is really interesting. You've obviously gone through the process of designing the stand and really focusing on that kind of part. But I want to take a step back just really quickly and ask you why you chose to display an exhibit at that particular display, at that particular exhibition. What was it about that attracted you to it? Because there's going to be people out there who would like to start exhibiting, but they have no idea where to start. So why did you choose that particular one for you?
That's a very good point, Gary. Now, both my friend and I are interested in history. I've always did want to be an archaeologist.
Okay.
And that sort of stuff. So we thought, okay, we'll try and get into the museums and industry heritage industry so we can do work for them, because obviously I'm a designer. I've got a love of history. I used to be a reenactor, a Viking and a Tudor reenactor. I've got a postgrad in heritage interpretation. So it's just something I resonate with, I like kind of looking after history, engaging with history. When I was working as a, not working as, when I was a Viking reenactor, we used to do a lot of living history displays, and I liked engaging with the public, particularly children, getting them interested in history. And, used to do battle reenactments, and the kids, particularly the boys, like trying on the armour and all this sort of thing. My friend she's a teacher. She loves the Georgian period, and she's an artist as well. So it all kind of tied together, really. So the first time I went to the Museums and Heritage Show as a visitor, because I was trying to get into the industry.
Mm.
So I thought, okay, let's go and see. I can't remember exactly how I found it, but I did a bit of research on Google, probably. I thought, okay, I'll go to the Museums and Heritage Show. And thought, okay, I want to do this next year, or I want to do this sometime.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my friend, and we were humming and hawing. So we thought, okay, let's give it a go anyway. And we did, and it was good. And then, of course, COVID hit. We were just kind of getting going and all that sort of thing. And then it was like, we just put the second show and COVID hit. And it was like, oh, okay, well, what are we going to do now? So, yeah, it's the fact that you can see all these photographs in that picture that we were looking at earlier. These are all the, yes, you can see all these are reenactments that I've either been a member of or taken photographs of. And with these, like this work here, the one that was for Islington, Islington Council, actually, Islington Council. They wanted to do an exhibition about World War One in Islington, home front, you know. So, yeah, I've always had a an interest in history, and that's kind of why, really.
Ah, so if someone was kind of looking to exhibit for their business,
yes,
where would you recommend they start?
Well, I would think about, I suppose, obviously, what business are they in? There's these shows for all sorts of people. I went when I was there. There's obviously the media and production show at the same time, which is unfortunate, because I would have liked to have gone to that. And then there was one for people who, I think, were either looking to get pregnant or people who work in that sort of industry.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that sort of thing. I've been to hospitality shows when I was working with my one of my clients who it does Wi-Fi provision for hospitality companies.
Okay.
There's finance stands. There's all sorts of different stands. So I would obviously just look on Google, which is the main thing. But you might want to contact the big exhibiting places such as Olympia, such as Excel, to see what stands they do. Because I've been to a cooking thing at Excel, you know, lots of different things about icing and baking and all that sort of thing. There's obviously the Ideal Home show for that sort of, there's the big boat shows if you're kind of that way inclined. And again, it just depends on what your business is, I suppose. But then also, who are you trying to get as your clients? Who are you looking to get as your clients?
I think that's the main thing, isn't it? It's about trying to figure out where your target market's going to be, where they're going to visit, and then being in front of them. So for me, you know, there's quite a few exhibitions in the local area, so that would be good for the local to contact in local businesses, because I've only exhibited at local business shows, which have had probably just under 100 kind of stalls there. Varying different sizes, a couple of thousand people kind of turn up throughout the day, and it's busy and it's really exciting. And you're dead right, you need to plan what you're going to do. You contact the organizer, get specs and all that kind of jazz. But it's so important while you're there to be visible and be present, and then have a way of following up afterwards, which you've obviously got with your forms.
Yeah.
It all starts with, who are you trying to, for me anyway, it starts with who are you trying to target, and then work backwards from there. So if I'm looking to kind of spread, build awareness of my business in a local area, I'll check out some local business shows to start off with. I might go to a few kind of national ones to see what it's like, but I would start there and kind of move up. But it does depend on where the target market is.
Yeah. But what I would also say is, you don't always expect to get clients directly from the show. Because what you're doing really is making yourself visible and saying, I am here, or our company's here, we can help you. But the people that you meet, you have people who are really, really interested who might well turn into clients. You might have people who are just visiting, but you also have people like, there's no disrespect intended here, but you have students, you have people that are just coming around, not necessarily interested in being a purchaser, but they like taking the freebies and stuff like this, because a lot of stands give away freebies, or they'll do chocolates, or they'll do free notepads, or they'll do little fluffy gizmo things, or all sorts of stuff. So when you're there as a storeholder, you have to set some intentions before you go to your store, and obviously manage your expectations. But be specific in who you're looking to engage with, because you can't engage with everybody, because not everybody is your audience. You'll get people that will talk to you, and obviously they've got their own agenda, and some of them may be just MA students or ordinary students. Some may be, depending on the nature of the show, catering students. Some may be freelance individuals who just obviously come in to see where they can get some work. So be aware of who you're talking to in terms of whether that meets your intentions, the intentions that you've set, or the goals that you've set for the your show. Does that make sense?
It does. It does, indeed. And I think setting the intentions is so, so key. And I know that the people who I've spoken to at exhibitions and when I exhibited myself, it is about building awareness. It is about building those connections and then following up afterwards. And if you haven't got the process in place, it's not going to work, is it? It's just not going to, it's not going to drive traffic to anywhere. It is. So we've been talking for about 25 minutes or so all about this. It's gone dead quick. Yeah, go for it. You fire away. I was going to say, have you got anything else that you want to cover?
Yes, I have. And I'm going to show you this very quickly now. Hopefully I can find it. Well, let me just show you. Where's it gone? I can't see. Okay, let's show you this one. Also, yeah, there we go. Can you see that in the stand? Okay, so this is me with Henry. Good old Henry VIII. We think experientially. How can you get people to engage in your stand? Because people will just be wandering past. They'll be on their own agenda. They'll be hungry. They'll be tired. They'll be lugging stuff around. They'll have a coffee. They'll be chatting to their mates. They'll just wander past you and not necessarily see you. So how, apart from being nice and open and all that sort of thing, how are you going to get them to engage with your stand? So what we did, my colleague, last time she'd done these small children characters, she'd done a boy, we'd had the boy one side, we'd had the girl the other. This time we did a life-size, i.e. my height, 5'2", picture of Henry VIII, cut out on foam board with a stand behind him. And we had a selfie frame, and we were encouraging people to take selfies with Henry, encouraging them to share the hashtags, because we had three hashtags. We had the M&H show, we had two creative birds, which is our kind of hashtag, and hashtag selfie with Henry. And you'd find that some people would engage, some people wouldn't, but there's a way of getting people talking. So think about how you can do something, what's called experiential, something that will engage people and keep them on your stand for a little bit, you know, and then that will help get you more footfall, because people could see Henry from halfway across the halfway across the exhibition hall, because of where we'd positioned him, he was right on that crossroads I was talking about, so he could be seen from rows and rows away, depending on people's angles. So just think about that. Think about who you're trying to target and how you can engage them.
Brilliant. That is an excellent tip. And what a great way of bringing it all to life.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is absolutely brilliant. And that kind of sums up everything that we've kind of spoke about, really, isn't it? About placement, about design, about standing out, about knowing where people are doing, the habits that they're going to be doing, they're going to be exhibiting while they're there. That picture is amazing. That's brilliant. And
thank you very much.
To show that actually you have got, obviously, you are a designer, so therefore you can design all of the background stuff. It also gives an illustration of the space that you have. If we were going to kind of share just one last tip for people, one last tip, and you've laid out loads of good solid nuggets all the way through this, but if you're going to lay out one tip or one thing that people should do right now, what would it be?
I would say, apart from making sure that you're hydrated a lot and you've got somewhere that you can sit down if you need to, enjoy it. You've paid a lot of money to do this. You've done a lot of stress. So if you're happy and open, always be open to sort of keep a watch of people going past, and don't just sit there looking at your phone all the time, because I've seen people do that on stands. I'm thinking, what's the point? You've paid hundreds of pounds for this, thousands of pounds. Be open to people going past and be happy and enjoy the day, because it's, you know, it's a culmination of all that planning that you've had for you and your business, or for your colleague's business, if you're, you know, if you're in a partnership or whatever it happens to be. You've paid a lot of money for this. This is a day you've been dreaming about for however many months. Enjoy it. And it, you become part of a community, because you talk to the people opposite, you talk to the people diagonally across to you, you know, and yeah, it's nice to be part of. Just enjoy it.
Brilliant. Brilliant advice. Nicola, thank you so much for today. And thank you very much for that knowledge. I believe there's a blog that we can get.
There's a blog post. It's a, I would need to update it, but I can share a blog post for some basic tips on exhibition design, covering some of the stuff we've talked about today.
Aces. So what we'll do is we'll include that in wherever you're watching or listening to that. It will be in the description of the podcast or the video. So you can just quickly link to it to get more helpful hints and tips. But all I've got to say now is thank you so much, Nicola. If people wanted to find out more info about you, how can they? Are you on socials? What's your website?
I'm on social. I'm on, my website is www.iconiccreative.co.uk. I'm on Insta as Iconic Creative. I'm on YouTube as Iconic Creative. I'm on Twitter as Iconic Creative. And I'm on Facebook as Iconic Creative Magic.
Brilliant. And that's how you do it, folks. Yeah. Nicola, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today. To everyone watching, everyone listening, thank you. You know, you spent your time listening to us over the last half hour. If you even take one or two of those little gems and start implementing it, or start searching for business shows or exhibitions, stuff that you want to kind of visit and get involved with, start today. Start doing it, because there's no point listening to this show or watching it and then not taking any action from it. So thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, if you are watching this on YouTube, press that like button, smash that notifications bell so you get updated. We're producing videos like this every week. So if you do want to get involved with it, let us know in the comments and we'll get you on the show and we'll start helping you tell your story. But thank you very much, Nicola, for today. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. My name is Gary and this has been The Grow Show. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.